Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come back to order. This time, we'll move on to item number 18, discussion of possible action on the tentative budget hearings for fiscal year 2015-2016. This time, we'll go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, and we will convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board. Moving up next, we're going to discuss, there'll be discussion of possible action on the tentative budget hearings fiscal year ending fiscal year FY, fiscal year 2015-2016 for the water and sewer services in Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, and this is where we always kind of get a little scrambled because of the need to identify the various boards that you sit on. I think where our comptroller and staff are prepared to go is we're not quite ready to recess and convene as that water board. We would like to just begin focusing on item 18, which are the tentative budget hearings themselves, if that makes sense.
Sure. Okay. And we will go ahead and recess as the Story County Water and Sewer Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. All right. Mr. Gallagher, you take the lead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This is the first time since I've been doing these budgets that we have had such a changing landscape in Story County. My professional experience, this is the first time since doing budgets that I've had anything this drastic since the 1981 gas shortage in Reno, Nevada, followed the next year by the airline strike. Unlike my previous casino operational experiences where staff and management saw their jobs lost before their feet and owners' profits drastically reduced, this is pretty dynamic stuff. This changing landscape is something to be very, very happy about, or possibly in some stages, be very apprehensive of. We've got a couple of things we've got to look at before we make a final determination on a final budget in May of next month. There are just too many things out there right now that may or may not occur for which we really do not have any information. So consequently, until we get that information, we don't have an opportunity to put any number to whatever may occur. And I will go down some of these items briefly. We are currently in the middle of the 2015 legislature. We really don't have any idea right now between, even though next week is the last time bills can be produced, there is a whole bunch of bills that can be produced because it affects the state budget. We have no idea, absolutely none, as to what happens at that point in time. So any unfunded mandates that come at that period of time will hopefully come before the final budget. But if not, if the legislature goes into a special session, then at least we have an opportunity to extend our final budget outline to incorporate those changes. Some of those changes may be health and human resources, juvenile, health care, mental health. There's a myriad of bills out there right now that could affect us, and in some respects, even though our lobbyists are saying that there'll be no mandating state expenditures to the counties, we really can't be sure until the legislature is over. We also have on a very, very bright side the Tesla manufacturing operations that are currently going on in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Park. This is truly dynamic, SB1, and all the efforts of our county commission and our lobbyists throughout that have given the state of Nevada and, of course, Story County a huge light for which to look at and to wonder. The prospects are unlimited. But here again, Those negotiations are underway, understanding that they are a tax-free zone for which no ad valorem for 10 years and no sales tax for 20. We understand that there is going to be tremendous, there's going to be a tremendous increase in the park. We just can't put a number to it. But in the same respect, we have to also take a look at salary resource and also materials resource that will hopefully fund the projects that are currently going on or currently being negotiated with our county government. Last month, as far as the SCCRT, we went off guaranteed share, which means that in on June 1st, or July 1st of this year, we will be no longer on guaranteed share for sales tax. We will be on our own. We will be in a different pool with pretty much all the big guys. But we thought that the landscape was, we were correct in our decision. We consequently budgeted very conservatively in that area because, again, we just do not know the consequences of what this action will be. Hopefully, with the building going out there, even with abatements to new construction, we are not hopeful, but we are confident that these numbers will rise. And we also have a dilemma with a state agency we call the Department of Taxation. Every year we get a pro forma on May 25th, which they pretty much dictate or tell us what they think we're going to receive in property taxes, both real and personal and centrally assessed. We've done our own for the last 8 years, and this is the first year where we have been considerably off of where their estimates, where they think their estimates are. I am not convinced that that pro forma that we received March 25th is correct. There are lead abatements that we know of and that Janice Seaton knows of that were not in that report. We are going to go back through that report. We are going to revisit this with the Department of Taxation, and hopefully, and we will, get it right before the final. So as far as that particular budgeted amount, which is a big part of the general fund, which is a big part of the 474 Fire District, we're going to revisit. We're going to go back through it, and we're going to say, look, we don't like what your numbers are. You have to give us some numbers that we think, because what we think is going on in the industrial park is not what they're projecting. So from that side of it, that's the beauty of having a tentative budget, is because you can go through after a period of time and adjust because of things that either come up through negotiations of the legislature or through the actions of staff to say, you know, we are now confident that these numbers are correct. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would like to go into the general fund. And you will see in the general fund there is a deficit of $657,000. This is down from the previous year of probably $2.9 million, but most of the allocations are budgeted with the expansion of the industrial park in mind. There are, understand that there are negotiations that Mr. Whitten is having with Tesla. We're still going to have, that project is still going to be there. We're going to have to at least put labor resource to what we think will take us to do the job. So consequently, there are increases in the assessor's office, the recorder's office, Buildings and Grounds, Roads, Justice Court, our District Attorney, and our Community Development. We have to fund those positions or increase those positions in order for the project to be successful. We would be remiss if we didn't budget amounts for this expansion. If this next phase of the industrial park is a success, as we all know it will be, then the revenues derived from the expansion will more than be enough to take care of the deficit. Now, I want to be perfectly clear on this point. If the industrial park expansions do not fulfill our expectations for the upcoming year, then the applicable appropriations pertaining to the park will not be expensed. Now, looking at the general fund in total, the general fund revenue increased 13.2% over the previous budget, mainly due to increased building permit fees, which is pretty much in line with what we're seeing in the industrial park. It should be noted that 15% of these fees that were previously collected and held by the general fund, 15% of that will now be allocated to the 474 Fire District because they are part of the building permit process. General fund expenditures decreased 5.2% from last year's budget, mainly due to the fact that last year the general fund transferred $2.5 million from their fund to capital projects. Salaries and wages increased 10% over last year to are budgeted for 10% over last year due to step increases, which is 3.5%. A PERS, which is Public Employee Retirement System, mandatory increase of 2.5%, and some reclassifications, and 4 full-time equivalents projected for the industrial park expansion. Benefits increased 10% for pretty much the exact same reasons. And it should be noted that Jesse Fain and Austin Osborne and the Benefit Committee should be commended, as health insurance costs were static. There is no increase. Operational costs increased 26% due to the following projections: mandated record management requirements, projected utility increases, anticipated community development Tesla costs, professional fees associated with the park and also outside the park, and legislative mandated child care costs that we will probably save. General government costs increased 26% due to increased mandated costs for juvenile services, increased in costs in administration of our Story County parks, and costs of additions or costs of additional technology for the Story County infrastructure. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would probably go through each department just a narrative on each department. If the board wishes to have somebody come up, that will. We can either do that at the end of this section for those sections before we go to the water board, or we can do it all at the end. It's up to the discussion. But department-wise, I will give you the department-wise budget in narrative at this point in time. The Clerk Treasurer's Department increased $43,000, of which $24,000 is attributed to staff reclassifications, longevity, and health insurance reclassifications. Operational expenses increased by $18,000 for the State of Nevada mandated record management requirements. District Court expenses are budgeted at $54,000, higher than last year due to anticipated upgrades in the JAVS courtroom system, which we are looking at here. There may be some reclassifications to this before the final budget. United marker testing. Revenues are derived from justice court and district court fees set by statute. Expenditures range from courtroom improvements to lab fees. Drug court revenue is accumulated at the time of sentencing and passed through to the Carson City Alternative Sentencing per order of the district court judge. The recorder's budget increased $32,000 over last year, of which $29,000 is attributed to an additional part-time staff to cover an additional workload requirements and staff increase. The assessor budget increased $80,000 over last year due to the addition of one full-time staff equivalent member required for additional services in the industrial park. This department will have some salary decreases allocated to some other departments. This will happen between now and the final budget.
Can we take a time out here for a second? On occasion, I may chime in, especially given Nicole's questions earlier. There are a small handful of departments that we are negotiating with Tesla on outside of building and fire. Specifically, those are the fire district for staffing to 75, emergency management, our sheriff's office, and assessor services. And this is an item that we have not yet put anticipated revenue in from Tesla because we have not reached final agreement, but we have provided for the expenses in the budget. And I'll chime in occasionally with that same note.
Thank you, Mr. Whitt. Our technology fund, by statute, the recorder, county clerk, and assessor can charge additional document fees of which the expenditure must benefit technology. We go now to buildings and grounds. These next six funds are under the capable direction of Mike Nevin. Mike has been a tremendous and is a tremendous asset to this county. The buildings and grounds budget is $45,000 higher than last year's projection due to $13,000 in benefit costs and $18,000 due to increased utility fees at the McCarran Government Complex. Pools and parks, the swimming pool and parks increased $32,000 over last year, mainly due to the assignment of funds for the maintenance of parks within all of Story County. Service department, this budget has an increase of $7,000, mainly due to staff increases and anticipated operating supplies. It should be noted that starting with the 2017 fiscal year, there will be a small service charge for all maintenance work performed to help defray salary and benefit costs. Our roads department. Roads revenue decreased $37,000 due to possible elimination of transfers from our equipment acquisition fund for the payment of capital outlay. Expenditures increased about $663,000 over last year due to road improvements throughout the county. It should be noted that about $500,000 is still available for road repair this year. And I think possibly since we're going to be moving to the water board next, we may want to bring up Mike if you guys needed to have him discuss what his improvements are. I think that may be in your packet, but if you don't, then we can move to the water board at this time. Mr. Chairman?
Sure, go right ahead.
You'll need to move from here to the water board.
Okay, we'll go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, and we will convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Water charges increased slightly over last year, which indicates the last fee rate change under the five-year plan. Expenditures are $56,000 over last year in anticipation of water purchase increases attributed to the Marlette Lake water system. Next is the Virginia Divide Sewer. Sewer fees are budgeted for a $48,000 increase. There are no additional rate increases projected. However, this is one enterprise fund where we need to pay close attention. Expenditures increased $118,000 due to additional capital outlay of $50,000 and USDA bond payments of $118,000. Mr. Nevin.
Yeah, for the record, Mike Nevin on the sewer budget. We, before the tentative was submitted, we had not received the principal and interest documents from USDA, and we have since received those. Determined that there is going to be a slight adjustment to the USDA line item on the billing, the residential rate to cover the yearly USDA loan obligation of almost $119,000 annual payment will require that the residential rate be adjusted by $1.93 a month. And on the commercial side, that adjustment using the 1.33 rate factor increase would be $3.17 a month, would generate about the additional $16,000 that we would be short expense versus revenue. The other thing I would like to make mention of would be my recommendation, if funds are available to transfer in from equipment acquisition to cover half cost of the Vactor truck that I've requested, of a total of $100,000 to be split between sewer with the transfer in from equipment acquisition and roads. And that truck basically would serve a countywide need. It's not specifically for sewer. It will also be used for culvert maintenance as well. And I make mention at this point that 2 years ago we contracted with an entity to clean culverts in the industrial park, and for five culverts we paid almost $48,000 to a contractor to do that. If we would have had the equipment, and that's why I'm requesting it, we could have saved, you know, half the cost of a used vehicle right there. So, you know, it's, if you have the equipment to work with, it sure makes it nice. Yesterday we had an incident with a sewer plug in an 8-inch main, and had to rely on our neighbors from Lyon County to come bail us out once more. So, you know, thankfully they've been available to help us, but I just wanted to throw that out to you on the sewer side.
Thanks, Mike. That's great information.
I think on water and sewer and on fire district as well, that's exactly what you should do, is go ahead and entertain board questions, public comment, and then vote to approve the tentative for the whatever we call this entity. I'm drawing a blank.
Water system.
The Virginia City Water and Sewer System. Okay.
Story County Water.
Story County.
Sorry, okay, public comment on the Story County Water and Sewer?
I would entertain board questions on these two budgets, as well as public comment and then vote.
Your request.
Commissioner McGuffey, do you have any questions on these water sewer?
Yeah, my mic's set down kind of fast.
We'll get him back up here. We'll get the sheriff here, Rodney Love.
It's more explanatory type, because I already know the answer, but I think it's, the audience needs to know. What exactly is this Vactor truck?
A Vactor truck is a machine that specifically utilized for jetting. It's got a big tank, water tank, and a suction tank on it, and it's got nozzle systems with big high-pressure pump behind it. This nozzle goes into, like, say, a culvert, and it just creates a jetting effect and pushes all the material over to the other side, so you can scoop it out of the way and basically have a clean culvert on the sewer side. It's a big suction device, so if you get a break in a line, you can put that in somewhere. You can suck that sewage into the tank and then dispose of it at a facility later on. You don't have it running down the sidewalk or the street. That used to be the case. And with people watching every step of the way, what's being done out there, you know, and the requirements from the feds and the state, you know, we have to have something like that, and we've had to rely on, you know, another entity to come bail us out several times.
That was my question earlier in the week. You weren't available, but it was explained to me, but it's like, it's not a common, to me, it's not a common piece of equipment.
No, it's just...
That I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd share that.
It's a piece of specialized equipment. It's on a big truck, you know.
And I might add, several years before Mike's tenure here as our Public Works and Water and Sewer Director, we did have a break on C Street, a very visible, prominent one, and dealing with OSHA and NDEP issues because we did not have access to a truck at that stage was exceptionally costly. So I like the fact that Mike's figured out that these are multi-purpose trucks rather than just a sewer system, because our culvert cleaning issues at Trier somewhat challenging and formidable sometimes.
Yeah, especially after a storm. Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet.
Take a public comment on this. Anyone has any questions regarding the Story County Water and Sewer?
I do.
Okay. Come on up. When you get to the microphone there, Greg.
We talk about the price of a piece of equipment costing $48,000. I haven't heard anyone say what's the cost to maintain that equipment after we buy it. I haven't heard anybody say what's the difference in cost benefit between hiring a private contractor when we need them, as opposed to buying a piece of equipment and taking care of it. If you look at the cost of outsourcing today, it might be cheaper to have a company come in and do the job that we need done instead of paying to maintain a piece of equipment on the taxpayer's dollar. I guess if you have the whole picture, you get a better idea of what we're spending. So it's not only the cost of the equipment. It's the cost to put the people in the equipment and operate it. It's the cost to have that person paid for by the taxpayer dollar. It's the cost to maintain that equipment when there's a break. It's a cost to have it run when we need it run. I'm sure all of us have seen snow removal where they'll put a county guy in three shifts and pay him triple time. Whereas if you hire a guy like Granite or someone like that, they keep rotating personnel, so they only pay a non-overtime fee on the same piece of equipment. So it's more than just the price of the equipment. It's the cost to operate the equipment. It's the cost to maintain the equipment. It's the cost to store the equipment. It's cost everywhere. So we're talking about budget overrun, but yet we buy equipment that sits. I'd like to know how often we use it. I'd like to know what expense is being charged to the taxpayer every time it's used. I'd like to know what the expense is to have a private guy come in and contract the same services. That certainly aids in making a decision as to whether you're going to spend $48,000 on a piece of equipment. Does that make sense?
It does. Are you making a statement or are you asking a question?
I'm asking a question. Does it make sense?
It does make sense. We do have our own service center to maintain the equipment, as you asked.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, we aren't charged by Lyon County when they come up to help us, although we might have to do in-kind service to repay them for their assistance. If we had to contract out to a private contractor every time we needed the service, it would far exceed what our expenses to go ahead and purchase it and maintain it. The people who are going to be operating this equipment are already workers with Public Works.
So we're not adding any additional personnel.
Right.
We're not adding any additional costs other than the price of the equipment.
Correct.
Okay, that answers the question.
We're looking at multiple districts too. We're looking at systems up here. We're looking at systems in the TRI, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mike explained it. It was just one incident of having five culverts down there. You know, costs $24,000. $48,000. Just have five culverts cleaned. So once you clean five culverts, you pretty much get your money back.
But your cost to clean the five culverts doesn't include the price of the equipment and the personnel. So if you were to take the $48,000 and add the personnel necessary in order to operate that equipment, plus the equipment,
that person is going to be laying pipe that day, paving, or he's going to be cleaning the culverts. So he's still going to be on the payroll, I think, no matter what his job duty is going to be for the day.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have any questions or want to discuss? If not, then look for the board. We want an approval of the tentative budget on this, okay?
Yes.
So this time, commissioners ask for a motion to approve the tentative budget for water and sewer, Story County Water and Sewer.
I make a motion to approve the tentative budget for water and sewer.
I'll second that motion.
Then move to second to approve tentative budget for water and sewer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And the motion carries. Okay, we'll go ahead and adjourn as the Story County Water and Sewer Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners. What do we have next, Mr. Gallagher?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our USDA Special Revenue Fund was originated last year by ordinance for the purpose of our wastewater sewer plant and the purchase of our structure engines and fire ambulances. The wastewater treatment plant will be completed by the end of this fiscal year. By agreement with the United States Department of Agriculture, all payments resulting from loan proceeds of the plant, plus payments for the 474 fire district equipment, must be paid out of this fund. So this is nothing more than transfers from equipment acquisition and from sewer system, our sewer, Virginia City Sewer, to the USDA fund to pay for those obligations under that debt. I will say that USDA did a great job with this. The interest rate is, I think, probably less than 3%. It's an extended period of time, and we would have never been able to probably do this without an inordinate or inappropriate increase to our customers on the sewer side without the USDA people, for which I thank. Our next is the Community Development Department. Their department expenses increased $97,000 over last year due to increased staffing for building inspectors and an administrative assistant, plus reclassifications. These increases were deemed necessary due to the increased activity within Story County. There were some additional adjustments. There will be some additional adjustments to include some Tesla reimbursements.
Mr. Wright, and I'll just a second for clarification. That text should have read there were some additional adjustments on the revenue side. Again, going back to where we are asking Tesla for money and where we are not, on the community development part, we focused through the collection of building permit and plan review fees, so we're not anticipating any additional funding into this particular department stream.
Thank you, Mr. Whitten. Our district attorney's expenditures increased $87,000 over last year due to increased anticipated professional fees related to current and future civil and criminal proceedings. Our justice court expenses are anticipated to be $7,000 more than last year, which reflects staff step increases. Our communications department, operated by Dave Ballard, are anticipated to be $44,000 above last year. A $26,000 increase is due to a staffing remodel, which is expected to reduce overtime. Dave Ballard does an excellent job of reviewing staffing needs and really does not have the same tools as public safety, which is police and fire, which has the ability to use 7K exemptions, which relate to 40-hour workers. They do not have those tools. Operational expenses increased $11,000 for building maintenance, which is attributed to his office, which is attached to the jail. And I may drop back to the 7K exemption. Communications is with dispatch is a 24/7 job, as is our public service representatives by the sheriff and our fire department. The IT department increased $97,000 over last year, mostly resulting in communication upgrades and necessary computer equipment purchases. This is, again, to make the entire Story County, the communication side of it, the intellectual property side of it, is to make those upgrades necessary for us to move forward. The Comptroller Department increased $88,000 over last year. $80,000 will be used for one additional full-time equivalent and staff reclassification. $7,000 will be used in anticipation of additional outside professional services. Emergency management budget of $5,000 is $5,000 over last year, of which $4,000 is slated for new computer equipment. Emergency mitigation fund is created by Resolution 08266, which was adopted July 17, 2008, to set aside funds to pay expenses incurred by the local government to mitigate the effects of an emergency. So this will only be used in an emergency. Community service. The community service budget is $114,000 above last year. The differences are as follows. Professional services increased $5,000. Youth activity, which is part of our community chest, $25,000. The library community, which is also part of the community chest, $10,000 increase. St. Mary's Art Center is $12,000. Nevada Agricultural Extension is $5,000. The North Senior Center is $4,000. Fourth Ward School is $34,000. The Fourth Ward School takes care of all of their maintenance. Most of this will be done by that, and if you ever looked inside the Fourth Ward School and out, it's pretty pristine. A great job by Barbara Mackey and her committee. Healthcare services, which is our community's chest, $31,000, and Mark Twain is scheduled for $15,000. It should be noted that the Virginia City Senior Center asked for an additional $30,000, which at this time we denied. We did not increase last year's budget last year's budget was increased by $30,000, which mostly was spent for salaries. Understanding that we provide all the maintenance for the building, I see no reason for an additional $30,000 budget infusion at this time. Now, I'm not sure if April was here, she was supposed to be here, but between now and the final, I will meet with April and her staff, and some of her professional services people to figure out just exactly what is going on down there. I will say that Sherry Nevin and I have asked for a hearing or at least a meeting with their board of directors since September of last year, and have not, been able to speak to them since that time. So until we get an audience with their department of director, their department of directors, until we get one with April and her staff, that is our comment at this time.
Let me jump in here, if I may, too. Community chess is an interesting function, or not community chess, excuse me, community services is a fascinating function. And again, as Hugh has well said, you know, under Sherry's leadership, we've made additional complementing efforts to the great folks at Community Chess, Sheriff Antonoro's programs, our Lockwood community folks, everybody. But Sherry does many other things outside of that function. She is our grant expert in the county. And she also, even though that wasn't our plan, she has not been able to fully extricate herself from being the right-hand help of Joe Curtis in emergency management. So it would be my intent right now to tell you, backing up to the emergency management budget, there is some indication that we will get some help from Tesla because of the hazardous materials permitting and whatnot that will naturally be out there. It would be my goal to work with Sherry with that money, and Joe, of course, you know, and maybe get Sherry the help that she needs, either in terms of grant management or administrative support, again, on a small basis, but on a helpful basis. So that is, in essence, a Tesla impact item as well, that we should receive some funding.
Thank you, Mr. Whitten. The Park Fund, we'll have an infusion of funding from the general fund as a result of an audit performed on business licenses from 1980 to present. Currently, the balances in the park fund are as follows. Virginia City Park is $19,811. The Virginia City Highlands Park is $73,387. Mark Twain Park is $36,318. And the Lockwood Park is $45,927. Now, please note that these numbers include penalty interest that was calculated, which will be adjusted for the third quarter financial statements to reflect a departure from that penalty interest phase, which is prime plus two, to a state to the state requirement of what we would have received had we deposited with the state fund. So that adjustment is coming. The sheriff budget has increased $303,000. Over last year's budget. The sheriff's wages increased $144,000, and jail wages increased about $11,000. Operational expenses increased $18,000 in the area of the copier lease, training, and lab fees. It should be noted that the sheriff has requested three more vehicles, which this year will be reduced to two. And there will be a decision on that between now and the final. There will probably be more adjustments to this budget to include, as Mr. Whitten suggested, Tesla reimbursements.
And that is true. One of the topics early on, Sheriff Antonoro, we asked to assess impact. Again, I think I publicly stated this before, but if not, I'll say it now. I think it was very conservative. We are phasing in deputies, you know, over time, and we've not sensed any overt pushback from Tesla on those negotiations. So there's cost embedded in here, but not revenue yet, in essence.
Thank you, Mr. Witt.
That's it.
Now you need to reconvene as the 474 break.
Okay. Are we going to look for approval on the final of this at the end?
At the end.
Okay. So at this time, we'll go ahead and recess the Story County Board of County Commissioners, and we will convene as the Story County Fire Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under the capable hands of Fire Chief Gary Haynes, last year, last budget year, Everybody was, they were special revenue funds, they are now a separate local government, and as designed as which is, they are operated as still as a major component part of Story County, for which we certainly are glad for. The 474 fire revenues, we have budgeted as a $525,000 increase, primarily due to the increase in fees and permits and a Tesla reimbursement for $350,000. Expenses increased $445,000 as a result of increased wages through step increases and staff reclassifications. $17,000 additional expenses involved with the opening of Station 75 increases and the tri-payback of $40,000 and a contingency, which we must have this year, because they are a separate local government, of $160,000. It all should be noted that these expenses of staffing Station 75 have not been recorded pending an agreement for the reimbursement by Tesla. So the operations of Station 75, we are not going to book at this time until Pat Whitten's negotiations with Tesla on the operating expenses.
I think that says it all. In essence, again, because this question came up earlier when we were looking at the ordinance for collection of permit fees, Chief Haynes' budget has a provision in there for the fees because we felt like we've reached general agreement subject to the board's approval. But we have not factored in any reimbursement from Tesla for the actual staffing of 75 because that is an item we're still negotiating. I hope sincerely that this will be included in the budget for the final. That's the big push we're trying with Tesla right now, is to get them to commit so that we can have clean numbers to you for the final budget.
Thank you, Mr. Whitten. It should be also noted that in prior years, there were two special revenue funds, the one for fire operations and the one for wildland fire. That has been it consolidated into the 474 Fire District. The Fire Emergency Fund was created by Resolution 07-240 under the direction of NRS 474-460 through 474-550. The Fire Emergency Fund must be used for emergencies and must not be paid for operating expenses. NRS 474-510 establishes a threshold of $1 million for this fund. Anything over this amount must be credited to the Fire Operating 474 Fund. Mutual Aid Special Revenue Fund within the 474 District was created by Resolution Number 12-356 in August 13th of 2012 to account for all deployments and buildings and billings outside the 474 Fire District. I would like to suggest that we reserve portions of this ending fund balance for future purchases of heavy equipment. Last year was a great year for the state of Nevada because there was not, as we anticipated, there wasn't a lot of wildfires. I'm not sure if we're going to get back. We're going to get around it this year because of the drought. But anyway, great job, Chief Ames. And with that, I think we need to take questions.
You got to do an equipment acquisition first?
That's
back on the general?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll take discussion on the fire side of this now. Any discussion on this? Commissioners, do you have any questions? For Gary, for you? Very good. I'll go ahead and ask for approval of the tentative budget for the 747 Fire Protection District.
I move to approve the tentative budget for the 747 Fire District.
I'll second that motion.
And Mr. Chairman, just to be sure the record's clear, for the 474 Fire District, that also includes the Fire Emergency Fund and the Mutual Aid Fund.
Very good.
It includes what? Excuse me, I couldn't hear you back.
It includes the Fire Emergency Fund and the Mutual Aid Fund.
all three of the items that we just went over. Okay? It's been moved in second to approve the 474 fire budget. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Okay. We'll adjourn now as the Story County Fire Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Commissioner's Department budget increased about $17,000 over the prior budget. Services and supplies increased $10,000 for additional appropriations for travel and fuel. In addition, capital outlay for replacement computer equipment was also budgeted. Administrative Department decreased about $2,113,000 from last year due to the elimination of transfers of that $2.5 million budget infusion into capital projects. All other expenses increased $93,000 as follows. Professional services increased $57,000. Our NACO and NNDA requirements increased about $19,000, a little bit of a computer equipment for $5,000, and insurance premiums for our vehicles, our umbrellas, increased about $8,000. Now, we will not know this number until the end of May, when PoolPAC makes its annual hearing and tells us the good news, but we're confident that our experience factors and our accident factors and all of the things that we look at has been very good. All of our department heads have been very cognizant in I'm sure the insurance reimbursements and the accident levels of their employees and staff. So we don't anticipate much of an increase at that point in time. Health and Human Services is created within the general fund to assist with indigent assistance programs and consumer health and rural protection. That's a mandate that we're going to get probably, and we're going to have to see what the legislature happens with that stuff. But there has been an increase on that. Our planning department budget has increased $120,000, of which $70,000 will be used to increase staff to cover the tremendous workload increased that has been increased throughout Story County. Professional services increased $45,000 in order to complete the 2015 County Master Plan.
Let me jump in on that for just a second, because Austin and I have had some conversations on this, and you heard him make the good announcement today that we've hired Jason. And I've had some good discussions with individual commissioners as well. We put some of these provisions in the budget, not knowing ultimately when all the fog lifts, what will happen. I think you can anticipate a sizable chunk of that $45,000 to probably not be expended, simply because in Austin's talent search, he went out and found a traffic planner for NDOT. So, you know, I think, again, you'll see, even possibly between tentative and final, and definitely as this budget becomes reality, that those expenditures won't necessarily reach those levels.
Thank you, Mr. Whitten. Our next is Indigent Medical. Indigent Medical revenue was created under Resolution 97.26. In September of 1997, under the direction of NRS 428 Indigent Persons. Revenue is received from the 10% tax rate of ad valorem and centrally assessed values. Indigent Accident Special Revenue Fund follows the directive of NRS 244.160, which states the boards of county commissioners shall have the power and jurisdiction in their respective counties to take care of and provide for the indigent sick of the county in such a manner only as is or may be provided by law. So that is their direction. Capital projects. When it was decided to look at countywide projects either through infrastructure or capital projects, or capital outlay. A list of possible projects was assembled. That list totaled approximately $7 million. It has been suggested that these items that would fall out of the infrastructure list would be picked up by allocating general fund revenues to capital projects. The capital projects fund, therefore, last year was infused from a transfer from the general fund of $2.5 million. The infrastructure special revenue fund is provided funds from a one-quarter cent optional sales tax for which the expenditures are allowed under NRS 377. The plan was finalized this year, and we are expected to draw down these expenditures per the plan. Stabilization. Special revenue fund was created by Resolution 06-218, dated May of 2006. Revenues are derived from transfers from the general fund, and the expenditures follow NRS 354-6155 guidelines, and the balance of the fund must not exceed 10% of the expenditures from the general fund for the previous fiscal year. The Tri-Payback Fund was created several years ago in order for us not to be upside down with our public-private partner because of expenditures in the park. It was created by Resolution 09-279 in May of 2009 for the purpose of dedicating funds collected from the park to pay back our public-private partner. As of this date, there is a balance owed of a little over $46 million. What happens in this fund is each dollar by our developer agreement, each dollar that is collected from the Tahoe Regional Industrial Park is put into a fund. A allocated expenditure per a stipulation agreement is deducted from that, and whatever that net is, per year, Story County is obligated to pay 35% of it. This fund was created for that purpose, so that if those funds, such as our 474 Fire District, CAP projects, our general fund, they understand that they need to transfer those funds out, and it leaves us with not the possibility of having to write a big check due to some circumstances such as an influx. So whatever we receive from the industrial park, basically the net of that 35% goes back up. The Virginia City Railroad Project Fund is currently operating under Resolution 11-322, dated April 5, 2011. There has been much debate as to the disposition of this fund. Commissioner McGuffey can attest to this as to our meeting yesterday, and we will have more information on the disposition of this fund before the final budget deadline. And what I mean by that is that we have been giving the Rail Commission funds from a one-quarter cent option tax from January of 2010 to the present, or actually not to the present. I have requested some documents from them to provide for an audit to see just exactly what is owed back by the V&T Rail Commission. I have not received those of yet, and so consequently, in November, I think, of 2015, we withheld funds, and we'll give them at an appropriate time that the audit is finalized and we have a final number. That's pretty much where we're at.
That would be 14.
Pardon?
November of 2014.
Yeah,
you said 15.
Yeah, 2014. Thank you. The only other funds we have is our federal grants, which is an in and out account. A lot of that is handled by Sherry Nevin. But even though Sherry Nevin handles that through community services, we have a designation to handle that through the federal side. And our contingency that we have currently booked, which will adjust with each notation or adjustment within the general fund, it now stands at $365,890, and will, when our final budget is approved, that number will probably also change. Mr. Chairman, that is my discussion on the tentative budget for fiscal year 2016. If there's any questions from the public or from our commissioners, we should probably entertain that at this point.
Very good. All right. Three, let's take discussion on any of these tentative budget items, excluding water and sewer and fire, since they've already been gone through and approved. Anybody have any discussion on any of the tentative budgets that we've just heard Mr. Gallagher so eloquently describe? Ms. Parr.
Nicole Bark, Story County resident. Hugh, how solid, or Pat, how solid are the revenue projections? Is it a 90% level of confidence, 100% level of confidence?
I was, in the previous years, I was probably less than 20 basis points off, which I thought was pretty good. This year, I was very disappointed with the pro forma that came up in March 25th. I was. And we had one of the persons that for the last 20-some-odd years was involved with that report, Tom Cransbury, and we had him come up to tell us just exactly what was going on with that. And he has done, he has gone back and contacted the Department of Taxation and ask them for their reasons for this. A lot of it is the cap, the erosion of the caps.
Okay, so you're saying that the first line item that says taxes, which we get back from the state, is the one, the biggest number, obviously, and the one that you question the most, right?
That's, well, let me jump in.
I'm just saying, of the 12.5,
right,
you know, how confident... 6.9 may or may not come in at 6.9, it may come in at 6, but the rest of the ones that we have forecast for ourselves, that we have a measure of horizon on, what's our confidence level?
Probably, I would term it about 80%, and the reason for the 80% is a big one, is things, we've learned this over the years, things can start and stop at 5.
Okay.
But I want to remind everybody, too, that you know, this used to actually be in a write-up that I did, and Hugh's chosen the verbal and the spreadsheet style, which I think is a lot more effective. We still have in place from the bygone days of destitution a policy that no one out there can spend $1,500 in non-reoccurring expenses without the comptroller's and my approval. And I'll give you a classic example, if I may, with our sheriff. You know, he has, again, because of Tesla and because of pickups, some minor staff increases that he has proposed that I think are very fair and reasonable. But at this stage, because we don't know for sure on the revenues, it is a lot like Austin's. We will put it in the budget, but that isn't a guarantee that it can be spent just because it's...
Okay, so you've got conditional expense items based on whether it's a condition of getting the Tesla offset or condition of certain volumes going up, so... Right.
It's conditioned in part on the offset with Sheriff Antonaro, but in other cases it's conditioned upon the simple fact, do we or don't we have the revenue to do this? You
okay.
can't spend more
okay.
in general than
Fair.
You either have in the bank or bringing in.
Fair. So 80% on our stuff, and it's a coin toss on what we get from taxation of the 6-point-whatever-ish.
Right.
Okay. The second thing is, how many, in this budget, tentatively, how many net adds to headcount are you anticipating? Hires, new hires?
Full-time equivalents?
Four.
Okay, so four.
Excluding Station 75.
That's separate, okay. Looking at just some of the individual budgets, when I look at the capital budget and I look at the infrastructure budget, both of them are lacking any detail. We've got a $2 million capital outlay in the infrastructure budget, but nothing telling us what it's going to be spent on. You know, we have, that's the infrastructure. Yes, the infrastructure list is attached, but that's a laundry list that goes out till 2024. So my request would be that by the next budget, if the public could be given a view as to what exactly you're going to be spending that $2 million on. On the capital project, same thing. You've got $1.3 million as capital outlay, as a lump sum number with no detail as to what it's going to be spent on. So between infrastructure and capital, you've got $3 million that the county is going to be spending, and nobody knows what it's going to be spent on. So again, I would just ask for some detail on that in the next budget.
Let me field that one if I may, because it's probably more my structure even than Hughes. Hughes just has to take the garbage I give him and make it be legal. There won't be a shall. There may be a may. This is, a very dynamic part of government. Here we are in April of 2015, trying to forecast what we may be spending in June of 2016. I can tell you just as recently as last night, an opportunity that appears on one of these two budgets that you're referring to, either infrastructure or cap projects, or possibly both, you know, came to us, and prior to that point, it may have been something along the lines of, I don't think this one will ever happen. Now all of a sudden it can move up. I would say, Nicole, to you, because we've gone through this over the year plus, I would tell you where your safeguards are. We can provide a list where we may focus in the next fiscal year on these, but in reality, where that approval process is, every one of those projects, whether we're buying a patch of dirt to make it a parking lot, that was the Eaton purchase, by the way, or whether we're making improvements to the Gold Hill Depot, no matter what they are, they currently exceed all levels of approval that are going to require those projects to come before this board and the public for approval. For instance, just as the Eaton lot did, I believe, within the last two meetings or so, and that was $100,000.
And that was on the list, so, you know, that's not a surprise.
But we didn't necessarily know, quite frankly, without wanting to get too much into the details of the Eaton lot, we didn't know if we were going to really spend the money on the Eaton lot this year or not, because we didn't know if there was a willing seller.
So you came up with $1.3 million out of the air on the capital budget, not having kind of a general idea of kind of what it would be spent on, so...
No, I think the general idea is there, but what I want to differentiate is what will we spend the money on versus what may we spend the money on because of the potential for change. So, no, there are a handful of projects that we said these are the priority ones that we think we'd like to get to in 2015-16.
Hmm. Okay. Next is on the rail project. You have under expenditures VC Railroad Project and the 2015-16 tentative, so $700,000 under expenditures. What is that?
To be candid with you at this stage, it is...
Isn't that the balance of the bond?
It's very close. What are we, part?
Yeah.
And why is it under expenditures instead of under a separate line item above that line?
Well,
I mean, you're not spending it. It's the bond.
We may.
Well, okay, then here again, if it's you're going to spend $700,000 on the rail project, on what?
We're not 100% sure yet, but it could be the purchase of a depot. And again, we're not just going to go spend it because it's in the budget. It will have to go before this board to approve the purchase.
Okay, so this is not the bond. It is an actual possible expense.
Right.
Okay. Your park fund, Hugh. The numbers that you quoted when you were reading the summary on the park fund aren't reflected anywhere in this document. So is that going to get updated by the next?
That's going to be, as I stated, at the third quarter financial statement.
Mm-hmm.
that will be taken care of. The interest hopefully will be calculated at that point in time, and the park fund will be balanced.
Okay, so will it appear in this document?
It will appear in that document.
In the next budget reading?
Not, it'll probably in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. So the next time I see this as part of the budget, it will include the numbers that
Absolutely.
You verbally set today.
Yes.
Perfect. Under administrative, it mentions that this also covers the tourism director. What part of it does it cover that?
Should have jumped in, actually. Again, the budgeting for an entity of this size, of this very complexity, if you will, is an interesting process. And again, I want to really credit the two folks that are sitting to my immediate left, Hugh and Jesse, but also a gentleman who didn't want to sit at the table today. And it's been very important in this because of staffing and because of planning and because of those things, and that's Austin. This team, particularly in my extended absence, has just done a stellar job in putting this together. Relative to Mr. Dotson's salary, as they briefed me on the budget, which wasn't easy, but as they briefed me on the budget, that discussion came up. And in the past, we have always held on to a reserve, if you will, to use Denny for 10% of things. He was our nuisance officer. He did a few things. And over time, those have morphed, but not in enough time for us to get the tentative budget out to you all and the commissioners in a timely manner. So honestly, what you will see is you will see that provision drop completely out. We will not take any portion of Denny's salary. And then whatever happens at the VCTC local government level, it will go in.
Okay, because I asked this question at the VCTC when they went through their budget, and I said, how much is the county still subsidizing? And they said, none. So it surprised me to see it in here.
Well,
so
we had anticipated continuing at 10%, but again, in working with Scott, who was, I guess, and with Ron and with Denny himself, no, there will be no provision coming out of general government for Denny.
Okay, so again, next time we see this budget, this won't be in here, neither will the... Okay, good. Under administration, it talks about the salary survey. Will, and Lance had asked for this to happen, will the public be, will you be presenting the results of that equity or salary survey in here prior to making salary adjustments? Because it was declared, you know, it was requested publicly, it was updated to say we haven't done it yet, it'll get done soon. So my question is, to the extent that there's a statement in here that says an increase is anticipated to bring the base salary schedules into comparisons with the region based on a staff study. So will the public see that staff study before this occurs?
I'm not 100% sure of the study. They may see the results of the study. That's a work in progress that Austin is heading primarily with Commissioner Gilman, since he was designated to lead that. But certainly those numbers will need to get out there prior to May 18th if they're going to be included in the next budget.
Okay, so we'll see it before it happens.
You'll see something. I honestly can't tell you what because I don't know.
Prior to it happening.
Don't have an answer for that one, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll keep asking.
Part of the budget.
Part of the budget, yeah.
If it's part of the budget, it'll be in the budget.
So the survey and the results of the survey will be in the budget. Okay. And then last but not least, you know, we're looking at a deficit budget here, even though, yes, and I asked Hugh about this yesterday, he says, yes, Nicole, but we still have checks. You know, there's a $10 million fund. You're still running at a deficit. And that's why I asked the question on the revenues. If you've got the revenues to support it, great. But if the revenues are squishy to begin with and your expenses exceed the squishy revenue number that you've got, that's a problem. So, you know that. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other discussion on this? Sheriff Antonaro.
Gerald Antonaro, Story County Sheriff. First, let me start by apologizing for being late for the meeting. I was down at the state legislature testifying on a bill that would essentially give you gentlemen and, in essence, our citizens, a little bit more control of county finances and county staffing. So that's why I was late. But with that in mind, it would be somewhat remiss of me not to come up and speak my mind as it concerns my budget. If I'm going to testify on your behalf, I might as well testify on my own, correct? The budget that you've been presented with is not what I presented. We sat, we met on the budget, I explained and expressed my desires. There was discussions about potential growth due to Tesla and the industrial park and everything. There were also projections in there that I had realistically for my budget. Now, we all know it's a give-and-take process throughout the whole thing. We know this is the tentative. Nothing's final yet. But I guess it comes back to being somewhat concerning to me when the numbers are, to use Nicole's word, squishy, and we're not quite where we need to be at, and I'm told, let's cut this, this, and this. Rather than just being told, hey, we're a little out of sync here, and this is a dollar figure, and let me place the priorities on my budget. Some of it I understand. There was initially a inclusion in there of, they were soft numbers, but it's a potential mandate coming out, an unfunded mandate coming out of the legislature for $80,000. Well, we all know how bills in the legislature are. Some work, some don't, we don't know, but if you can reasonably foresee it, we should reasonably plan for it. I was told this morning while I was down there that bill is now out of committee and moving forward. And Southern Nevada is not posing any oppositions to it because they're already in compliance with it. It's the rest of us that will be eating it, biting the bullet on it. So, there again, if we can reasonably foresee it, should we not be preparing for it? County manager brought up the Tesla reimbursement or offset of costs and staffing projections based on the development down on the north end of the county. My position has been, and in past discussions we've talked about, I would like to add another deputy this year and another deputy next year. Well, with the potential of Tesla becoming involved and some reimbursements or paybacks or something like that, the budget figures in front of you show the inclusion of two deputies this year. Now, that may or may not happen. We all know that. But what this budget doesn't reflect is taking a part-time administrative person and moving that into a full-time administrative position, because that was one of those items that I was told, take it out, we're not going in. When, if you want my true assessment of the whole thing, I can do away with adding any deputies this year, but I do need that administrative position because of the staffing overloads in my office. And if you have any questions or doubts about that, you can go to Melissa Field, who's now in the comptroller's office. Just last week I was talking to her, and I said, Melissa, can one person do this job? She says, absolutely not. And I watched those girls out front run all day long. So, while this all is a give-and-take process, we're all still just throwing around bantering numbers and everything, I think you're doing a disservice to your department heads and your elected officials. We're the ones in those positions to determine what our needs are. And then we come to you, gentlemen, and we banter back and forth, give and take, do whatever we need to best serve the citizens of our county. So to be told, take these things out, and then that's what you're given, is a disservice to the people we serve. Now, am I going to get everything I want? No. Are you going to get everything you want? No, because you have to fund my office. But what our focus should be at the end is giving these folks what they need. So we'll see where the process goes, but I just felt I needed to have that say.
Well, as the general public reads this, you're getting just about a 9.5% increase in your budget, which equates to more than $300,000.
Well, I understand that. with those increases.
The general public, they'll understand, they're going to say, that's a...
Well, my original...
That's a pretty nice increase in the budget, $300,000.
My original projection was a 13% increase. But if we look at that
13%, it doesn't make any difference.
If we look at those increases, a lot of them are staffing costs, contractual obligations through budget or through negotiation.
I think that the comptrollers informed us in the past that with salaries and benefits for personnel is about 87% of our budget.
That's correct.
Which leaves us about 13% of a countywide budget to take care of all the other needs that we have to take care of.
I understand that.
That doesn't leave us a whole lot of leeway.
I understand 13%. That, but let's just do the simple math. In this budget, two deputies, when you include wages and benefits and everything else, you're talking $75,000 apiece, so there's $150,000 right there. Those are included by request because of development on the north end of the county. Don't necessarily need them. What I do need is an administrative person who's going to cost the county with wages or salary, benefits, everything else, about $50,000. So if you let me place the priority on my budget, where are we better off, $150,000 or $50,000?
So you're saying you forego the two deputies for the one administrative
person? Yes. Now, ultimately, we're going to have to add staff. And, you know, like I had told Pat in past discussions, my plan has always been add one in the coming year, FY16, another in FY17. Okay? I can get by as long as I can maintain staffing levels where they are right now. We can still go out and provide services. And what growth and development down there, I believe we can absorb. That's not a huge issue. I can bump that back, just like with my cars. I don't care. We cut the cars back to stay on my rotation. I should get three cars this year. If for whatever reason we need to cut that back to two or to one, so be it. We'll cut that back. I can live with those types of things. But in the management and operations of my office, there are certain priorities that I have, and I'm the guy who's put in place to determine those priorities. So I bump back my deputy staff by a year. And FY17, I put on a deputy. And then FY18, I look at putting on another deputy. But FY16, what's important to me is to get another administrative person in there, because that's where my bog down is. That's where my bottleneck is. All those deputies are generating work that goes through that administrative position. I'm getting more and more from the county end of things. Wasn't that long ago, sheriff's office didn't do their own payroll. We submitted everything to the comptroller's office. They did it for us. We just gave them the paperwork. Now we're doing our own. That started with about the same time that Jerry Honea left. So that's a fairly recent thing. This year, unlike in past years, I submit all my packet to the comptroller's office. They put all of this together nice and pretty, and they get back a nice printout saying, this is the budget. I did all the legwork, but they're doing all the entry and formulating and stuff like that. It's all great and well and good. I'm sure they can tell you it takes a lot of time. This year is the first year we are doing that ourselves on our end. And I can tell you that Melissa's not there anymore, but she spent a lot of time doing it. So, I mean, there's more and more things coming through the office. There's more and more civil process. There's more and more case reports. Everything that happens in the sheriff's office goes through that administrative office. So if you want to talk about numbers and you want to cut numbers, let's do away with the two deputy positions that I can push back for a year. Give me what I need. Let me place my priorities.
I personally, as sheriff, appreciate the approach. I think this is the kind of thinking we need to approach of all of our departments with. And if we can save money this year as we move into next year and further prosperity, so I appreciate your take on this. I believe I'm reading this right, and I thank you.
Let me inject a few real facts of life here. You've heard Hugh say this, and Jerry, you may not have walked in soon enough, but it should go without saying. This is a tentative budget. And first and foremost, Sheriff Antonoro and I, last week, I believe, had an in-depth conversation that, and it may have been the week before, I don't know, about these very matters, about 3 cars to 2 and why, about one deputy instead of two, but there were two in there, and why, and about the criticality of expanding his administrative staff. And those answers, at my level, were not no, we won't consider them, and I offended somewhat and pissed also that, you know, it would be bent like this. To produce a budget that can go out to the public and to you folks, where you have any kind of time to at least look at it for 10 minutes, means sooner or later you have to draw a line. And you draw that line because there are probably now, if I had to ask Jesse, I would say we probably have somewhere between 6 and 16 changes that we know we need to make. But you have to draw that line somewhere in the preparation and presentation of this budget. As far as I'm concerned, everything you just asked for, we can work with. And as far as I'm concerned, your budget can drop by 2 deputies, where I thought one was reasonable, especially since Tesla's going to pay it. Those are all things we can do. But now let's focus on the smoke and mirrors of an $80,000 body camera program. You know, Sheriff Lowell knows that if it's an unfunded mandate, we have 2 more opportunities to fix this within the budget. And actually, I'm going to stretch that to say 3, because I've been doing budgeting a long time. First and foremost, if we get hit with an unfunded mandate between now and May 18th, we can adjust the final budget. That's exactly what this period is for. Here's the budget, everybody. Look it over, tell us where your issues are, and we'll fix them. We don't need a grandstand in here today about macromanaging one administrative officer versus 2 deputies. We can fix those things. Second, we will increase our deficit, I might add, but we can work with that. Second off, we even have in legislative years something we've never needed to do. We can open our budget, and I'd look probably to Hugh or Jesse if they know, we can open it one more time after final budget is approved to address any last-minute unduly burdensome acts that the legislature may hoist upon us. So we can do that. And third, hey, guess what? Look at the last line on Hugh's budget presentation. We have a $360,000 contingency for these types of things. So we've got 3 more shots at fixing this, one of which we've always done with most of the budgets, and we will be doing with essentially all of them, because I think, again, what I'm hearing from Hugh and Jesse is we probably never had a more tentative budget than we have this year because of the size of the deficit. So we'll fix the issues with the sheriff's office. I'm not necessarily disagreeing, but I'm telling you the reasons why they are not in here is because they were discussed between the sheriff and myself at a level too late to feasibly get it into the tentative budget. It'll be in the final.
Thank you.
If I may make one response to that. It's not smoke and mirrors, and it's not grandstanding. I said that there were some issues with this I have no problems with. The $80,000 potential unfunded mandate, the reduction in the number of cars, I don't care. Like Pat said, we had a brief conversation a week ago about it. Understand it can't get into the budget or the tentative at that time. The staffing is where my big concern is. And a bigger concern is the fact that I'm not given a number to shoot for. Not this number is what we're hoping for, but I'm being told my priorities. That's where my big concern is. So this isn't grandstanding, and it's not a smokescreen. I understand that this mandate may or not happen. I understand there's ways of addressing it. That I don't have a problem with being removed. My cars, I don't have a problem reducing them from 3 to 2. We've done that in the past. But the staffing and the assessment and the needs of my office are mine to make. And that's what I'm trying to do here. And yes, Pat and I did talk about it. And yes, I fully understand that there is time between now and the end of the budget to make corrections. But if I don't say something now, when do I?
Well, anytime you want to pick up the telephone.
Mr. Chairman, this is an opportunity for, as it was designed for, I have problems with the sheriff's staffing level, and this is going to give us an opportunity between now, final, sit down, discuss all the things with Austin Osborne, who wasn't there before, and get this thing straight. So that's where we are.
Okay. I look forward to you guys coming to a resolution on this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. All right. Any other public discussion on this? Did you already speak on this, Nicole?
I can bring this up in public comment, and it has to do with
the budget. Can you make it brief? Because yeah. I gave you twice as much time as allowable under the guidelines.
The people in the Highlands have the impression that we pay the majority of taxes in Story County. And we like to complain that we don't get anything for those taxes. So I decided to go look to see if that was true. So I got data from the county in two areas. I asked to get taxes paid by each community over a couple of years. And then I sat down with Mike, who was kind enough to spend the time with me, to tell me how much money the county spent just on roads in those communities. I wanted to look at what the return on investment, the investment being the revenues, taxes paid by the community, the return being, I chose roads because we all have a fireplace, firehouse. We all send our kids to the school, so I took that out. So I just took one indicator.
Can I ask you for one moment? Mm-hmm. Does this have to do with the budget?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I looked at that, and make a long story short, I need to include this year's data. But two things came out. One, no, the Highlands doesn't pay the lion's share of taxes in this county, which the Highlands has this perception that we do. Actually, excluding TRI, Lockwood pays more than we do. Good, good. But the second thing about what do we get for the taxes that we pay, looking at one indicator being roads, is we aren't getting the investment of the county in our community that other communities are getting by two measures. One measure is how much is being spent on roads in those communities in relation to taxes compared to what is being spent on the 2 miles of road that we have in the Highlands proportionate to our taxes. But in addition to that, the county provides other communities with funds for senior centers and community centers, which the Highlands doesn't get. And I'm not, forget about the park money, I'm talking about other money. My question, and I'm just giving this to you to say I've done some analysis on this, and to request, what does the Highlands get out of this budget, and this is coming out of the community development budget, community services, is we're not getting our fair share for the taxes that we pay. Mike, you're right, that trying to get the ones or the tens to get together, you know, to even tell you if they'll spend the $13,000 on that road material for you to give us the stuff for free is a problem. I understand that. But could it, in order to kind of even this out, we don't have a community center, we don't have a senior center. Perhaps the county buys those materials for $13,000 and you just do.
Please address the board.
Please address the board.
Okay, so, sorry. So I'm just suggesting that we do pay taxes in the Highlands. We contribute to the entire county, and we're happy to do so for schools and everything else. But that when it comes down to really what we're getting back from the county, specifically to our community, we are not getting what other communities are getting in terms of funding, and I'm requesting that that change. I've made a suggestion that perhaps you give us materials for free as a way of evening that out.
Well, I don't know if we're ever going to have an even breakdown for each community, Nicole.
I just did it.
Thank you. It's apparent that the Highlands is a private community. And almost every resident who's ever testified here has made it crystal clear it's a private community.
Then why do we pay taxes if we're a private community?
Because you are part of a county that...
For which we expect a return.
Please don't interrupt me, okay? When I read the blog and you have people who write on there and say, we don't get anything from Story County, or all we get is police and fire. Well, police and fire is a huge amount of the county budget. Mm-hmm. Plus, you have schools to educate your children out there in the county.
But all of us get that.
Please don't interrupt me, Ms. Warren.
plus every resident out there, every property owner, gets to pay their fair share for the operational of government for the county, whether it's the commissioners, the assessor, the recorder, the district attorney, the judge, whoever it is, they are paying their share for those items. There's a very limited amount of county roads in the Highlands. All of the secondary roads are privately owned. For the county to do any work on a private road would be the same example as putting a new roof on your garage out there. It's private property. You don't, the other thing, the senior citizen centers, and the senior citizen in Virginia City was purchased with a grant and donations. It wasn't county funds. Now, if the Highlands wants to go out and pursue building a community center, if they think that they can play nice together, I wish them well to do that. If they want to put in a ball field out there, I wish them well. The thing is that you just can't turn around and say, hey, we're not getting our fair share. Here, I have an idea on how we can even it out. I don't think that's the way to go.
I wasn't talking about the private roads. I was talking about Cartwright and Lowestown. Okay, first of all. Secondly, we contribute, every community contributes to supporting the county. I actually made that statement. We're happy to do that. That's not the issue. If you pull out the common stuff and you just look at the stuff that's spent specifically in each community, we're not getting the same return on investment. Lockwood, God love them, yes, put that center in there because they got the grant, et cetera, but the county continues to give them money to support it. So that's county funds, of which county funds, Highlands pays taxes. Those taxes go to support Mark Twain, to support Lockwood. None of it's coming back to the Highlands. And I just suggested that on what Mike was talking about earlier, on Lowestown and Cartwright, where the county's going to do the first miles on both of them, the rest of the road is up to the Highlands to do, and he's being kind and saying, if the Highlands pays $13,000 for the materials, we, the county, will provide free labor to do it. And I'm saying, maybe you give the Highlands the $13,000 in materials and do the road. That's what I was saying, not the
okay.
Roads.
That should be made for another day because that isn't part of this budget. We shouldn't have gone off track on that.
But it is. I'm asking.
But it's not. Request is not part of this budget, Ms. Barr. This budget is general services for the county. You have a request there. The request doesn't have anything to do with this tentative budget here.
I was asking what's in this budget that is specifically for the Highlands that isn't.
And that isn't what's part of this. We are going over a tentative budget for general government.
So,
can I take one stab at this? And I realize it's not on agenda, so I don't want to go very far either, and I'll look to Bob and Ann. But there are a lot of things in this budget relative to there that you omit from here. I can take the community of Mark Twain and tell you they don't have their own staffed fire and paramedic fire station. They share the Central Line Fire. The folks at Lockwood, God love them, they have one, but they share with Tri. Tri has none. So if you were going to do apples to apples, you can't just pick something like roads and say, this is the common denominator we all share. You need to take a look. If you want to look and see what the Highlands is getting in the budgets that were presented today, look and see, or ask Chief Haynes, you know, how much staffing the Highlands fire station to a paramedic level costs.
Okay,
ask Chief Antonaro if he can estimate, you know, what patrol costs.
I can do that, but my request is that there may be a little bit in here in the budget that can be directed more distinctly, much like with the other communities, for the Highlands.
And just so you know, too, it is not the first mile of Lowestown, it is all of Lowestown.
All of Lowestown. Okay, fine. I thought it was just the first mile.
All right. Any other discussion on the tentative budget? Great system?
Yeah. One of my first days.
I just want to make a statement.
Come on up to the podium, sir, and then identify yourself for the record.
Greg McKendall.
When you get to the microphone, right
there. I'm pretty loud, man.
Right there on the chair. That way we get you picked up real quick.
Greg McKendall. I understand what an unfunded mandate is. But we're looking around our country. We're looking at our police and law enforcement. A body cam doesn't protect just the policeman. It protects our county. One lawsuit pays for $80,000 if they're asking to put body cams on them. One lawsuit. One of our officers pulls the man over. That guy accuses him of doing something he didn't do. He's not the only one protected. Our whole county is protected. Our whole county is protected. Unfunded mandate, I totally understand. Protecting our police, protecting ourselves, protecting our county, but an unfunded mandate, I don't understand. There's a lot more things that we can cut off than to protect our police force. They're doing a job, quite frankly, I wouldn't do. We need to protect them. Unfunded or not, we need to figure out a way. Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion? Commissioners? Any questions?
Not to be picking on the sheriff's budget, but there's the big items, like the shoulder cams, if you're required to get those. It's not mandated yet. I understand that kind of budget, but then I'm seeing little things, a lot of little things that look like they're just thrown out there, take it for granted. You got a $22K auto budget, and then you got a separate budget, an $8,000 budget for tires. And your tax history shows us you never spent more than $3,200. So those are things, I think you look at a lot of little things that helps down the road. And then you're looking for $16,000 to $19,000 for your CART program. You told us before that you know how to apply for grants. Can't that be paid with a grant or help, you know, that kind of thing? So it's mostly little things, I think, that add up to a big number. And it's not just you. I've got a list for every department. The district court wants a new JAF system. You know, when we bought this JAF system, we bought two, one for the Justice Court, one for the district court. And the one from the Justice Court wasn't even used a year before we moved here. So now it's sitting in storage all this time. So that's a brand new system. I don't know why it can't be used. And is it a software thing? I don't know. Okay. So, but those are things that should need to be brought out so you know. It was the first time I heard that the planning department wanted to hire somebody to finish the master plan. So I was kind of surprised. So it's everybody's in this. So we all got to look at anybody that's got a red number in their budget needs to go back and look a little closer. That's all I have to say.
Mr. Gilman.
Yes, sir. Action, Bob. Thank you. I think remembering that it is a tentative budget, and that's what we're looking at, tentative numbers, and we're looking toward a final in a couple of months, so we have more than enough time to work through this. I received the budget about 3 days ago, so I've spent the last 3 days. I've reviewed every page of the proposed budget. I've read all the explanations from each department. I've appreciated hearing all the comments today from those department heads who chose to participate in the county. I appreciate Nicole Bard's comments, and Sheriff, I appreciated yours. It's obvious that there's been a lot of individual effort and teamwork put into this tentative budget, and I want everybody here to know that I personally respect and appreciate it. That being said, and with all due respect, I would like to vote no on this tentative budget, but I'm going to turn that into a yes on the motion. But I'm going to suggest that it's there with sincere reservations in approving the tentative today. I want to suggest that the key personnel in the county leadership take another shot at it, make some serious adjustments, and I know we've talked about doing that today, so that doesn't come as a surprise. I'm not asking to start over from square one on any proposal, but I am asking for all of us to take a strong look at trimming the very huge increases in the projected expenditures here in our county. Some thoughts. You know, I appreciate the opportunity to share a couple of thoughts at a strategic financial level and then share some specific proposals just to put on the desk here for the next couple of months. The first I'd like to share with everyone is stemming from a long career as a business owner and from the private sector. I've been made aware of a tendency on the part of locals and state and federal governments to grow and grow and grow. And as they grow, they add overhead expenses, and they do so under the context of need. But they reduce actual value to the community. we lose the bang for the buck, and especially for our residents. If growth is needed in a certain department because of growth demands in the population or the commercial or the industrial base, then I believe that that growth is very reasonable. But if growth in a department is simply growth because there's more money available in tax revenues, then in my mind, that's not reasonable. Just because there is more tax revenue coming, potentially, into a government body, it doesn't mean that we have to spend it. Secondly, Story County is on the verge of transforming from one of the poorest counties in the United States. When I was here, it was being broken up into pieces between other counties. In terms of capital investment per capita, and that's the amount of business investment in plant and equipment divided by the number of residents, where are we sitting at about 4,000 people? We're going to be one of the richest counties, perhaps the richest, both just from Tesla and Switch alone when they're built out. So in my opinion, we achieve this growth because we're a small government. We are nimble and agile. And we avoid all the bureaucracy which handicaps most of the other counties around us. People look and say, how can you be so successful? Look at all the things that Story County has done. It's because we're a small county. It's because we're nimble. Our small size of local government is a strength in attracting companies. They appreciate it. They appreciate that we cost control. And we should all remain mindful of this as we develop our budgets now, this year, and all the coming years. And third, I'm going to suggest that this budget assumes, but certainly can't confirm, a 13% increase in revenues. And has been said here at the desk, and Hugh, I appreciate your comments greatly. It's very speculative. This is in light of many untested assumptions that are out before us on the revenue stream side. To me, it's troubling that every single Story County department has increased its department budget, the departmental budget, and some of them have massive increases as high as 80%. My question? Are we spending money that we don't yet have? What happens if our revenues are not what we project? And I go back and I'm reminded of 10 years ago when we first started in this county. And Story had its first major revenue increase from huge growth in the industrial companies in the north part of our county. We were rolling in dough. So we all ramped up our budgets, we all ramped up our payrolls, and we all ramped up our overhead, and boom, the recession hit us. We had fat budgets and very little money set aside. Our revenues dropped precipitously, and every department had to take drastic steps to avoid going heavy into the red. As private business owners, we learned in the long and deep recession that even now has very minimal national recovery, we learned how to operate on a lean and mean basis. So did this county. And I can promise you, we learned our lessons. And even as the economy struggles back, and it is struggling, private business owners are not popping champagne, not jacking up their expenditures to pre-2009 levels. Everybody that's paying attention is staying lean and mean, and I absolutely believe our county must do this as well. So with the strategic thoughts in mind, here's some ideas that I might have to put on the desk that may or may not be palatable. But this proposed budget shows a projected deficit in the general fund budget of over $600,000 in a year where our revenues are projected to be up 13%. I don't understand why we're not planning a surplus budget, or at the very least a minimum balanced budget, in a year which may, but only hopefully, be fat on tax and other revenues. Of our 13% increases in projected revenue in the general fund, I'm going to throw out that we can support a plan whereby every department holds their budgets to a 5% growth. Thank you, Sheriff. A 5% growth, not 13 or 9 or 10. Then our county puts away 5% in a county savings and or contingency funds and further lets the residents of the county share in the prosperity by reducing property taxes somewhere between 1 and 3%. Those things are achievable if we want to put our backs to pulling the wagon. I'm aware that overtime pay has been an area which has been greatly abused in our county in the past. And I can tell you it represents unregulated increases with spending in pay and benefits, and it's very often unnecessary. So I'm going to ask that please, overtime be specifically budgeted by department, and our goal is at minimum levels. I'm going to tell you that this is a very easy target area to save several hundred thousand dollars in our county immediately without reducing services, basically, in any way. So in sum, and I'm going to hope that we all will embrace the fact that we are very successful, becoming more successful by the day, and yet small, limited, local government. And I really beg you to keep it that way. This gives us a huge advantage in attracting investment into the county, as we have seen in the last couple of years. And I submit smaller, less regulated, and taxing government is a major strength in the new emerging economy. I'd like to go back to the drawing board. I'd like to get back with Hugh and do all of the things that we have suggested here at the podium, that we relook at our budgets, we look at our costs. You know, we can raise costs next year, but I want you to think about something. Tesla is just starting. The payroll roll, the process of construction. Switch is out there grading today, and I give you that, but they haven't signed a contract yet with us. They're not even in escrow. They can walk away in a heartbeat if they don't get SB-170. So our projections are untested assumptions today, and I'm preaching caution, and that's where I'd like to be on our budget.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Going forward with this, we have about 6 weeks between the tentative budget and the final budget hearing. And then, as Mr. Whitten pointed out, that if the legislature does pass something that would affect our budget, we can reopen it after that. So this gives us 6 weeks to go ahead and hammer out some of the issues that we need to deal with. We don't know what the legislature is going to do. We don't know if they're going to fund education with the governor's plan, with the margins, the reestablished margins tax, or if they're going to go with Anderson's increase in modified business licenses, or if they're going to come up with another plan. We don't know if they're going to dissect any of our property tax ad valorem revenue. We never know until it's over where we're going to stand with these guys. Any type of legislation that gets passed now could have a financial effect on the county. So I think the door is pretty open on how much the state can take in Story County at this point. I think it's a good start. We're over budget, but we have a nice ending fund balance that we could utilize if we need be. When it comes down to the increases in a lot of these departments, it's unavoidable with simple step increases and longevity that people are entitled to contractually or legislatively. Going back to that one more time to the legislature, we don't know if there's going to be any last-minute changes with the legislature on elected official salaries, too. We are at the mercy of the legislature on what elected officials in this county get paid. I haven't heard of any pending legislation, but you never know what's going to come in at the very end of the session. So if they want to go ahead and jack up elected official salaries, that's going to go ahead and impact our budget as well. We just, on a legislative year when the legislature is in session, it makes it more difficult to do a budget than any other year when we're not in session down there. So this is just one of the things. I mean, there's been impacts, and Commissioner Gilman, with all due respect, with your success in the industrial park, it is the park that's putting pressure on these departments to hire more personnel to bone up and beef up with the demand on their offices. So I think they can work hard to trim this down, but I don't think we're going to be able to get down to cutting a budget or balancing it. I don't think that there's enough meat left on the bone to do it. But I look forward to working with everybody and doing the best we can with it. So with that being said, I think that concludes, Mr. Gallagher, all of the general budget.
We would need a vote to approve the general as presented.
Right. And so at this time, commissioners, for a motion to go ahead and approve the alternative budget for the general as brought forth.
So I'm here, Guy, but I can make the motion to approve the tentative budget for the year 2015-16.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and seconded to approve the general budget for the years 2015 and 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And motion carries. Moving along now to community development and planning.
Okay.
Items 27 and 28 have already been continued to May the 5th. And so we'll come on to items number 29, possible action license board for second reading.
And in the interest of time, I can take this. We both have the same information. Dean's office has requested, and actually his office is here. We should have made her come up. But that we continue items J and K as they appear on your agenda, Ionix LLC and Rich Doss, Inc., to be continued.
All right. Commissioner's looking for a motion to continue items J and K.
I'll make a motion to continue items J and K, which include Ionix, LCC, Rich, Doss, Incorporated.
Second motion.
Been moved and second to continue J and K. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And motion carries.
And community development is asked that we approve the following business licenses listed on your agenda as A through I. CCAT, hope I didn't slaughter that one too much, Blue Scope Construction, SMC Construction, James S. Bryant, Inc., Sky Scenes Multimedia, JJK Enterprises, TMW Technologies, and Sword Design, and MDB Trucking to be approved.
All right.
I'll make a motion to accept A through I.
Do I have a second on that?
Second.
Moved and seconded for approval A through I. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And motion carries. Moving along now to item number 30, public comment. Anyone? No one?
Mr. Chairman, before I keep doing this, but this has been almost a 3-month project for not only Austin Osborne and Jesse Fain and myself. They have done a remarkable job. I wish to congratulate them both on some very good effort, and we will be revisiting all of this stuff again. Thank you.
Thank you. Usually under board comments, I have something to say, and it got by me until during our recess, speaking with D.A. Langers, that I don't like it to go without mentioning when we have the passing of one of our residents. And this, it was 2 weeks ago, we had the last week or the week before, we had the passing of Robert Miller. He was a fixture in Virginia City. Bob played organ and sang in the choir at both, I think, Catholic and Presbyterian churches. I think he rebuilt the organ that's in St. Mary's. And he was kind of the guy that could fix the organs and pianos for you around town. So he was a colorful character, and he was a real nice man. He was only 59 years old, and so we'll give our send off to Bob. So thank you, everybody. Anyway, anything else? We're adjourned.